The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Not quite July 4th. Happy July 4th in advance. That will be tomorrow. We'll be here as well for all-day baseball. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, the return of producer number 9. So
hey!
Much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Just happy to be back here just in time for July 4th. Big show coming up tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Oh, don't miss it. We'll be here. First of all, thank you to Wyatt Tomchek and to Brian Ortega, who are here in your stead.
Yes. Doing great work, I'm sure.
You ever use the word stead besides in your stead? I don't think you do.
No, but I think we found another one.
There you go. In your stead. They were great. They were awesome. Kelly back, though, from his staycation. Did you get into trouble? You all right? Is there incidents that you wanted to report, share?
Nothing too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing too bad.
Just checking. See if
I did get recognized by my voice.
Oh, wow.
Twice. Like, it's one of those, like, you know, when do you know you're too loud?
Yeah.
When someone comes up from 20 feet away in a packed casino, I'd be like, are you Kelly from Visa? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was just walking by, recognized your voice. That happened twice.
Twice.
Yeah, not once. Twice.
That happened to me yesterday, as a matter of fact. Yes. It happens. It's very strange.
I was yelling at a friend. Yelling at a friend. I might have had a few drinks. I mean, this guy comes up. I'm like, hey, yeah, hi, oh, yeah, yeah. Did you hear that? You heard my voice and recognized me? Okay.
Well, it's good to have you back. We have part two of Steve Fezzik today. In case those of you who were here on or listening on Friday enjoyed two segments with Steve Fezzik, we didn't get to everything. So we got two more in studio with Steve Fezzik coming up today. On this July 3rd, also Wes Reynolds, little Wes's more. Zach Cohen on Wimbledon. Wimbledon started this morning, overnight, really, for most of the United States. I have bets that I would like to share here because 6 of the 7 have yet to start. That's right, 7 plays on day 1 at Wimbledon, the third major of the tennis calendar, the grass major, if you will. And Paul Sporer will be here to talk Major League Baseball with us. First, before I get to those tennis plays, or maybe should I give the tennis plays first just in case some of them start? Because there's rain and some of these matches are suspended and I don't know what's going on.
Let's go for it.
And then we'll get to Kelly not having Keegan Bradley and see what he had yesterday. okay, so like I said, 1 of the 7 plays, and by the way, these are all available at VSiN.com/pick. So if you subscribe, you will have had these not quite 24 hours ago, but close to 24 hours ago. The one match that has already begun is Marcelo Tomas Barrios Veras, who was a +113 dog against Sebastian Baez. He's up 2-1, play suspended again in the 4th set at 5-5. So that one's already started. The other 6 have yet to go. And for those who are unfamiliar again with how I primarily bet tennis, it's all about numbers as a backdrop. So the way to winnow down, I mean, how many matches were there today? 64 total matches on the men's and the ladies' side, 32 each. The way to winnow it down is to first look at the data, and that is the massive filter of how I came down to these. That's how I do it every single day. And then on top of that, you sort of, you know, use your handicapping brain to say, okay, does that make sense? What else is going on here? And so on the men's side, the plays coming up, Lloyd Harris at -118 against Gregoire Barrère. By the way, shop around for these. You might have been able to get better numbers. By the way, -110, pardon me. You might have been able to get better numbers than I did, perhaps a little worse. But usually these are mainly in pocket, I believe, right now. I'll double check on these. But Lloyd Harris, -110, South African player who had been great in his career, then had lost everything, really had lost his game. Now he's back to playing really well, has had a nice grass court season, big serve. He's the play at -110 against Barrère. Yannick Hanfmann, you see the big number there, +325. He's a guy that we've won on, if you may recall, if you've been betting tennis with us for a while, on different surfaces. He's more of a clay court guy, but +325 against the American Taylor Fritz. Fritz is not in good form. Maybe he's injured. I don't know. But Hanfmann, no reason he can't be a great grass court player. He has great grass numbers in the limited grass data that we have. +325 is the flyer of the day. And by flyer, I mean, I think we got a good shot here. I really do. Quentin Halas at +107. The common characteristic of all three of these guys, Halas, Hanfmann, and Harris, besides their last names beginning with an HA, is that they're all great servers. And Quentin Halas at +107 is the play against the Brit Daniel Evans. That's the three remaining men's plays. And then the three on the ladies' side that are to come, Rebecca Masarova, -107. Masarova is taking on the Egyptian Meyer Sharif this morning. Masarova is a player who has beaten the likes of Bianca Andreescu and Sasnovich recently on grass. She is a really good player who got hurt or had some really sort of freak injury in the quarterfinals of the last tournament, so she's well-rested here. I like her at minus 107. Katerina Siniaková at plus 108. I think this is wrong lady favorite here in this match. I think Siniaková should be. We say that in baseball sometimes. Wrong team favorite. This is wrong ladies tennis player favorite, in my opinion. Siniaková just won at Bad Homburg. Not to be confused, Kelly, with Good Homburg.
Uh-huh.
She won at Bad Homburg as Siniaková. So as to the extent that she can recover quickly from that, she should be the favorite here. I got her at plus 108. And then Victoria Hrunčáková, who I want to remember what her last name used to be or what she went by anyway. Kuzmova used to be her last name, right? So it's Hrunčáková, Victoria Hrunčáková. She's at plus 193 against Elise Mertens. Good grass numbers. She has not had a good historical against Mertens. Mertens is really good on grass, but at plus 193, that number appeared to be way too high for me. So that's really, of all the plays, more of a numbers play than everything. So those are your six remaining. Harris, Hanfman, Halas on the men's side and on the ladies' side. A bunch of ovas, I should say. Siniaková, Masarova, Hrunčáková. Got that, Kelly? Kelly will be pronouncing all later on in the show.
I got it. You are Siniaková. I'm sure got it right. You're right. I'm looking at DraftKings right now, minus 115 on her.
So she ended up being
moved to the favorite. Yes.
Okay. I would still play it at that number. I wouldn't let it get to minus 120.
And then Masarova even money over at DraftKings, so you can actually get a little bit better. Than what you had.
Wow, yeah. That's surprising to me. Okay. So there you go. Thank you for the pricing update. Yesterday in golf. Now this is one of the things we talked about when Kelly's absence the other day. By the way, play suspended, rain delay for most of Wimbledon at this current moment, so you should have enough time to get in all of these. When Kelly was not here last week, Keegan Bradley had just won a tournament, and we had joked, Kelly, and it spilled on over to Twitter that you always play Keegan Bradley, and this is the one week you did not last week.
I mean, did I have a few bucks on him live on Sunday? Yeah, yes. But I didn't play him pre-flop.
You did not pre-flop it. Did you have Ricky Fowler? Ricky Fowler wins his first tournament since 2019 yesterday, the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And by the way, if you were able to see it, you were watching on your phone or on your computer.
What a disaster.
So they anticipated inclement weather in Detroit. They moved the tournament up, and nobody at the network adjusted at CBS. So you ended up either watching some ESPN Plus on it, and then you were forced, in either case, to go to the CBS Sports app to watch the playoff. It ended up being a three-man playoff between Fowler, Hadwin, and Morikawa, and it was a sudden death format, though the announcer messed it up. I think Terry Gannon messed it up at first and said it was a three-hole format, so he sort of threw off the audience at one point. But it's a sudden death. Fowler immediately puts his ball way right, and you're like, okay. And the other two guys are in great position, Hadwin and Morikawa. And so you're like, well, Fowler gacked it. His streak of not winning since 2019 will continue. And then within one shot, everybody's approaches, he was the guy in winning position, and he sinks an 11-foot putt to win it. Congratulations to everybody who had Ricky Fowler. Did you, sir?
No, I didn't do it. I actually didn't. I didn't make a single golf bet last week.
Really?
Took the whole week off.
Wow, you
were
really
nice.
On vacation.
Yeah, I was on vacation. I watched most of that round, though, yesterday. Man, the TV coverage was a nightmare. I've kind of been wondering why that hasn't happened more when it's the CBS. The automatic assumption from a lot of people, I think, is go to Golf Channel. Golf Channel is owned by NBC.
Right.
So when a lot of this stuff's on CBS, like, they do dump it onto Golf Channel sometimes. I've kind of wondered how that works. And I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more what we saw yesterday more often. But, man, it's a disaster. You're scrambling. It's an early start because you got weather issues, and then you got to go find it on CBSSports.com or ESPN+. That was crazy. The ending was great, though. Morikawa, this is turning into a tough season for Colin Morikawa. He had that choke at the beginning of the year in Hawaii where John Rahm ran him down in the century. I mean, he's set up. He makes a 9-foot birdie putt or whatever it was on his 18th hole. He's walking away with a victory yesterday, misses that, leaves the door open for Hadwin and Fowler to come in and tie him. I thought Ricky was amazing. I mean, amazing with two approach shots right on 18, and then on that first playoff hole, like you described, he's in the rough on both, is able to stick them both close, goes up there and makes two huge putts. So we saw it earlier in the year with Jason Day. We're seeing it now with Ricky Fowler. We see these guys getting better and better and better and better. Are they back? They're finally back when they go out and win a tournament like this. And it might not have been an elevated event with a massively great field, but you still out-dueled Colin Morikawa and Adam Hadwin at the end to pick up this victory. I thought it was pretty huge for Ricky yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely huge. If you could, and we saw his putting at the U.S. Open too, which was outstanding then as well. If you could give his putting to Scottie Scheffler, would Scottie Scheffler ever lose a golf tournament? Ever?
Probably not.
I mean, Fowler was just tremendous. And Morikawa's approach shot was the worst of the bunch yesterday, just into the back rough. At least Hadwin's was on the green, but it spun back past Ricky's yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I think. Morikawa missed that by about 2 feet, because that's what he was looking to go to the top of that green and spin it back. Kind of like Hadwin did, but Hadwin went. He missed it low.
Any Open Championship bets from you yet?
I have one in the account. We were talking before the show, that time of year where I have three open bets right now, Gil. Three.
That's
in
it.
In every sport, every future, every market, I have three. Patrick Cantlay at the Open Championship is one of them, 30-1.
I have seven open right now in tennis.
Yeah, you do.
But it is that time of year, right?
Like it that is that time of year. Yeah, you want to hear my other two? Jags to win the AFC South at -150. And Brett Beatty to win NL Rookie of the Year. How's that looking?
That's not that
only baseball bet.
That one's not so much. Yeah, that one's not happening. Though the Mets won themselves a series finally in a first in a month. Didn't win a series in the month of June. Finally won one against the Giants here to start July. We'll come back. NBA free agency and Wimbledon futures that I made next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today, that is, and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID. To open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. I just want to say to, again, the people over at Caesars, thank you for providing us with an app that is now more similar to the rest of the country's apps, if you will. Because, Kelly, for the first time ever in the state of Nevada, we're able to bet Grand Slam quarters.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Breaking news.
And it was so exciting that I bet every single quarter on the ladies' side. So, Iga in Q1 at -120 was the bet. We talked about these last week a little bit, and on the podcast, certainly on the Beating the Book podcast, which I did with Drew Dinsick in the Wimbledon preview. So Iga in Q1 ended up being a play. By the way, Iga double parked this morning. She made quick work of Zhu Lin. So she is on her way to the second round. No surprise there. So Iga was the first quarter bet, very modest minus money. And then it was Veronika Kudermetova in quarter number two. It was Petra Kvitova in quarter number three. You also know I have an outright with her with Novak Djokovic. And then in quarter number four, I did end up taking a flyer on Maddie Keys, the American. Madison Keys, who looks like she's back to solid Maddie Keys form, got her at 6-1 on in quarter number four. So every single one, by the way, those are the prices. -120 on Swiatek, +450 on Kudermetova. Don't worry about the spelling there. Kvitova was +320, and then Maddie Keys at 6-1. Q1, 2, 3, 4. So I got a little frisky with it, with the quarters finally being offered. This is how the rest of the country lives, Kelly. They get to bet this kind of stuff. We're just experiencing it for the first time here in the state of Nevada.
So it's the one shop being hammered, right, for all the quarter bets?
Oh, it's just like I'm sure everybody's like, this is how luxurious. Was the scene in Seinfeld when Julie Louis-Dreyfus is going all over the road that was painted over?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So luxurious in here. Okay.
Is that the Kramer with the Kramer painted adopts over? The highway or
yeah,
whatever?
He adopts the highway. Paints over all the dividers. So luxurious. Okay. NBA free agency. Kelly, can we describe this as kind of underwhelming thus far? Is that fair? Are are we just moving chairs around and no real betting market move? Well, let's talk about it. So
yeah.
Bruce Brown goes from Denver to Indiana. Gabe Vincent goes from Miami to the Lakers in free agency. These are not trades. These are just signings here. And the big name that is still, I mean, what, Brooke Lopez stays with the Bucks. That was a big name out there. The big name still out there, though, is Damian Lillard, who has now officially requested a trade from the Portland Trailblazers,
boom, boom, boom.
Which is the big sort of development because Portland and Dame neither wanted to be the bad guy to the good people of Portland, and Dame finally said, trade me. So Miami is the speculation. Some people have decided. Some people also are saying Brooklyn is a possibility. By the way, you see the offer that Brooklyn put together? Did you see that offer?
No, I didn't.
Well, I don't know if it was official or not, but there was one with 3 first-round draft picks in the future. But Ben Simmons was involved. But it was Nurkic and Dame Lillard going to Brooklyn. So I don't know if that's an official offer on the table or that's something they're just pondering right now. Do you think he ends up in Miami? First of all, do you agree with the first statement that this has been kind of meh so far?
Yeah, but I think we have a couple massive names that are still, I mean, it's Damian Lillard and James Harden, I think, are still going to end up going somewhere, and I think that's going to change some things.
But where does Harden go that it matters?
I mean, man, it sounds like he's going to end up being a Clipper. I mean, he is.
We still buying that?
I mean, that's where everything's going.
I don't mean are we buying it going to the Clippers?
Buying is going to work.
Are we buying? Will it matter ultimately? Because how many times have we been through this?
I don't know. I'm not going to give up on that team. If they've got those guys there that can stay healthy. I'm not going to give up hope on that team. I'm not going to be betting futures on them. You can't.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like you got to see it first almost before you can do anything with it. So, I mean, yeah, like these are up at DraftKings. They minus 200 on him to go to the Clippers.
You can bet these. James Harden's next team. Clippers are the favorite, minus 200. Staying with the Sixers is plus 320. Then everybody else is 6-1 or longer. Well, Knicks and Heat are 6-1 and 7-1. And then everybody else is 20-1 or longer.
Yeah, I'm going back to Dame. I think the Dame stuff is really fascinating right now because it appears that everything we've talked about the past few weeks kind of came true, where it was Portland was going to do their thing no matter what and make Damian Lillard force their hand, which that's what ended up happening. They were going to put the best team possible they could on the court going forward for this next season and for 5 seasons from now. And that meant drafting Scoot Henderson. That meant getting Jeremy Grant back on board. Whether Dame was going to be there or not, he was going to be a big piece for them. So I actually think it ended up being rather easy for them. Like we said, they never wanted to be the bad guys in this. Fine. They took it as long as they wanted. Dame waited through the first day of free agency and then demanded a trade. Now you get to deal with trying to figure out a trade destination for him, which, unlike Bradley Beal, Gil, right, he doesn't have a no-trade clause. So he can say all he wants to go to the Miami Heat.
Portland's still doing what's best for Portland.
Portland's going to do what's best for Portland. So I think that there's a very good chance that he'd end up landing him, but I think if that happens, there's probably a third team involved. They just don't have the assets that you could give up compared to a Brooklyn or something like that.
So Miami, I mean, again, we've seen this where superstars have gone to other teams, but the team trading for the superstar essentially gets gutted. See Brooklyn Nets, see Phoenix Suns to the, when Durant came from the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn now, by the way, the Suns, by the way, it should be pointed out, did sign Eric Gordon to a 2-year deal, including a player option. That, according to his agents at CAA Sports, they told Woj that yesterday. The deal's for $6 million over 2 years, so the Suns trying to put together the complementary parts to the big three, if you will, there, Booker, Durant, and Beal.
And that was huge. I mean, them able to get Gordon, them able to get some of the smaller pieces they've gotten so far has been pretty big.
Do you believe that Dame Lillard, I guess this is what it's getting to. By the way, do we have an equivalent Damian Lillard next team odds board? Is that available?
No.
No, they didn't put that up.
No, I didn't see that one anywhere.
Okay, so if Damian Lillard does end up in Miami, what I'm getting at is, will the Heat, who've already lost Gabe Vincent, Tyler Hero already, if you believe his social media, already indicating that he'll be gone one way or the other. At least that's what he's sort of calling his shot on. We'll see.
Got to be Hero and Robinson.
Right.
Unless you're moving Bam.
And Duncan Robinson being the other one I was going to get to. So are they going to be so gutted that their version of a big three would be Bam, Jimmy Buckets and Damian Lillard? And is that without the complementary parts? Because, I mean, let's face it, that Heat playoff run, as great as Jimmy Butler was, as great as Bam was at times, it really is about the shooters. Gabe Vincent perhaps being the first name that leaps to mind, and he's gone already. Does that make the Heat better in the end, net? I know it's hard to say they'd be worse off with Lillard and without those guys, but honestly, basketball is a very strange alchemy to sort of try to analyze.
Yeah,
they immediately win the Eastern Conference again and lose in the NBA Finals? I don't think so.
They could get Dame tomorrow. I still wouldn't have them favorites in the East.
You'd have Milwaukee favorite.
Yeah, I would still.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a great question because it's. I think Miami's in a mode. Miami and probably more specifically Pat Riley are in a mode of we're just going to do whatever we can to get him there. I think that would be a major issue. Yeah, if Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero end up leaving, which they likely would in a trade. A lot of your shooting just got gutted from this team. So, and this is a team that relied they were third worst in the regular season shooting the three. We saw they end up there. They were the best team in the playoffs shooting the three. We saw them go all the way to the NBA Finals. Those slight percentage differences can mean the massive difference in your season. So, yeah, that would concern me. That would concern me for sure.
It's not like I guess LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh were the big three that worked. I'm not talking about ones that were formed organically. I'm talking about ones that were, you know, acquired in free agency or via trade or whatever. That was the one that worked. And it feels like, and I guess some people are going to say, well, KD going to the Warriors, that was already a championship team. I don't consider that the same thing. So besides that Heat version, none of this artificial acquisition of a big three has ever worked. Am I correct in saying that? And it feels like people are chasing that high, and that's just not how basketball works ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could kind of put the Celtics in that category, but they're a little bit the same, too.
Talking about KG?
They had Paul Pierce. Yeah, where they had Pierce already.
Right, but who did they acquire there? I guess they did. They acquired KG from Minnesota. Yeah, that was one as well.
I hear it's a lot tougher these days, though, to acquire those pieces that are. I mean, Ray Allen's a perfect example in Miami. He came there to play for basically nothing. Like, it's a lot harder to get people to do that these days.
Just saying, it ain't that simple. If it were that simple, everybody would do it.
I like what the Lakers did.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You're taking them seriously?
I'm taking them seriously.
LeBron going to be 39 next year?
Yeah, he's going to be old. If those guys can stay healthy, that team is dangerous.
Oh, I can't do it.
I like it.
And the Warriors are running it back. What a surprise. Draymond ended up right back in Golden State. What a surprise. Good for them. You got a championship core? Run it back. You got a better shot than most others. We'll come back. Paul Sporer on baseball. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. I'm not sure if you heard about this. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Get your newly released NFL betting guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, you missed football week last week. It was awesome. Talking football each and every day, either me or guests. Just riffing on the upcoming NFL season. You and I are a big, when the season comes, then it will be time to talk about a sport. But this was actually pretty cool to force ourselves to dive into it.
Okay. Well, any bets you walked away with?
Oh, yeah. I did the NFC East, so I had a bevy of NFC East bets.
I like it.
Giants fans hate me already. Going under, and I'm going alternate season win total on the Giants as well.
We don't have all sub
unders, by the way. Yes, in one location.
We do.
Interesting. I believe.
I'll check around.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was fun in that respect because, you know, you got to hear from everybody on different things. And there's a lot of, you know, inevitably every off season, there is a, you know, like last year it was the Lions, right? Everybody loved the Lions. And they ended up being pretty good in the end, but they certainly took a while to get started towards that. This year, it feels like it's the Falcons. Like everybody, and I know it's a weak division, so maybe that's part of it, but it feels like everybody loves the Falcons, which I'm like, okay, I guess.
I don't think I want anything to do with that division.
I don't want anything to do with it at all. staying as far away from it as possible. Let's talk some baseball. Big day in baseball tomorrow. We got 10 games today, but day baseball is always a fun thing. Paul Sporer joins us for FanGraphs. Paulie, how you doing?
Morning,
Gil. How you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What KC baseball cap is that right there?
City Connect.
When the Boston Red Sox wear their traditional yellow and blue, that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's for the marathon, though, so I get that one. I don't love that one just because, I mean, I don't think those the UCLA colors are great for me, but I respect what they did with that with the marathon, but it's probably lower on my City Connect ranking.
Hey, let me ask you this randomly. Will Hill turned me on to this. Are you familiar with Immaculate Grid?
Love it. Playing every day. It's tailor-made for me.
Oh, dude, for you? For me? It's tailor-made for all of us. It is.
Honestly, it really is tailor-made for us because the meta to getting, like, the lowest numbers, because everyone's trying to get their low percentage, their guy that, like, doesn't have a picture or 0.0%, is older guys. And by old, I really just mean, like, before the 2010s.
Right.
You don't even have to know, like, 50s, 60s guys. You know some early 2000s, 90s guys, you're getting 2%, 3%, because everyone focuses on the here and now.
Let me give these guys are going to get a boost in traffic after we talk about this, but let me explain to people what it is. It's a simple game called Immaculate Grid. It's basically set up like a tic-tac-toe board. There's three vertical columns, obviously three horizontal columns, and there are categories on the three on the top and three on the side. And so essentially, you just have to name a baseball player in the entire history of baseball who meets the two criteria that meet vertically and horizontally. You get a grand total of nine guesses, so you'd have to go nine for nine to get all the boxes.
Can't miss.
And the beauty of it is, as you just pointed out, the more obscure the picks, the better. That's the genius.
They've added something called rarity score. Like, they're playing into that, too, for people to kind of flex. But for me, I don't want to ever lose a board. So if I can only think of Greg Maddux for, Padres Braves square or something, I'm still going to put him if that's all I can come up with, because you don't want to lose. So you want to go obscure, but you want to balance it with actually getting the nine out of nine, or else I don't care how obscure you got.
That's right.
If your board is not complete.
Well, I can't wait for the next one every day. Like, I'm like, oh, where's the next one? It's like crap.
Same.
Totally. All right. Let me ask you this. Shohei Ohtani, 31 ding dongs. If he ends up with more homers than Judge did last year, is the media going to act this year like he's setting the home run record like they did with Judge last year, which was just a ridiculous moment in time?
I hated that so much, and I hate to, like, poo-poo Judge. It's nothing against him, but that whole AL home run record crap. They were just looking for ways to promote him over Shohei because they were already bored of acknowledging that Shohei is so far and away the most valuable player in baseball. It's not even funny. If he plays, you know, if he stays healthy, and is just like himself, he's the MVP. So I don't know exactly how it'll go as far as whether or not they'll promote him for the 64 homers, new AL record, whatever. But he's so easily the MVP. It's not. I don't even know that a ticket on another AL player makes any sense right now, because at that point you're just rooting for injury, and that's kind of a morbid way to
injury
place your bets,
or trade to an NL team. Something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. The trade to the NL would be the only, like, non-disaster route. That he's not winning the AL MVP right now.
Do you agree that the Braves are leaps and bounds better than any other team in baseball right now?
Any other team in the National League, I think so.
Not in the American. You think the Rays are up there?
I think the Rays. I like the Rangers, too.
You do?
I really like that Rangers club.
Sustainable.
I think so. You know, they've got some issues that they could still address with some pitching. You know, they got Chapman probably to feel comfortable of having another go-to lefty with Will Smith being their closer. You know, that's always kind of the bias against lefty closers, is that if you don't have another lefty for those 7-8 inning for the key lefty, you don't want to have your closer there. Well, if you got Chapman for, say, who's like a key lefty, let's say like a Freddie Freeman against the Dodgers in the seventh inning, then you can still use Will Smith as the closer. So I really do like the Rangers, but the Braves are really, really tough. I do think they're the number one. I just don't think they're leaps and bounds ahead of the Rays and Rangers right
now. Okay. I thought you were going to say bounds maybe, but not leaps and bounds.
Not leaps. Kind of,
Yeah. Bounds ahead. Least sustainable team with a winning record for the rest of the season right now would be, in your opinion?
Oh, man. I hate to be negative on the Marlins because they're really fun. Actually, you know what? I think they are more sustainable than the Reds. I'm going to be the wet blanket on the most exciting team in the league right now. They just don't have enough pitching. And I don't know what they're going to do to address that. I really think they should go out, pick up some veterans. I've been talking about a guy like Lance Lynn for them. I know he's got a home run issue, and taking that into Cincy isn't the best thing. But they need guys who have dominance. They need guys who can miss bats. And if when Lance Lynn's on, if they feel like they can get the best Lance Lynn version for the rest of the year, I think a guy like that or a Giolito. Honestly, they should just call the White Sox. Giolito, Lynn, if they go bigger deal, maybe they could get Cease, who does have 2 years of team control, but they need pitching. So as much as I love what the Reds are doing and that offense is electric, it's probably them over the Marlins, because pitching can carry you, and the Marlins have pitching in spades. Maybe those two teams are you know, a win-win trade right now, two contenders trading a pitcher for a hitter type deal.
I asked you some version of this last week, but I want to ask you a different way. Give me the teams. Like, how many teams could go either way right now, trade deadline a month from now? Is it 5 teams right now that you still don't know? Is it 10? How many is it?
Yeah, it's probably closer to 10. It's a lot. And, you know, I'm of the opinion, I've heard people talk about, like, moving the deadline back so teams are more, you know, set on what they want to do. I don't like that. I'd rather go the other way with it. They won't do that. The problem if you, like, move up the deadline is that I think a lot of teams would just stand pat and just have inaction because they'd be too nervous to blow it up too early. So given that where the deadline is at the end of or early August, I think it's August 1st again, right now there are so many teams that look at the Reds. We were not talking about them in any sort of capacity. They go on a hot run. Now, not every team can get a 12-game winning streak, but it really shows that you're a week and a half away from really putting yourself back into this. If the Cubs reel off 7 straight, they'd be 45 and 44 all of a sudden. They're over 500. Some things are working for them. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're the team, but, you know, the Mets, of course, they've been the biggest disappointment. They're not that far from turning things around. The Mariners and the Guardians are right there on the cusp. So there's a bunch of teams that the right July could put them front and center buying pieces. The wrong July could have them selling guys that we would have never thought were going to be available.
10 games in Major League Baseball today. What do you like best from a betting perspective? And if you've delved into DFS at all?
I got more DFS than looking at the games right now. Okay. I'm really, honestly, even though I am wearing the KC hat, I'm going kind of hard against them. I like a Minnesota stack pretty big here. You get Joe Ryan in there as one of your pitchers, and then a bunch of their hitters against Austin Cox. Interesting young guy. I'm glad that they've called up some of their younger arms instead of just running out the same old in KC. That said, I don't really trust Austin Cox to shut down the Twins. They've been an interesting team, kind of. They need to figure out where they're at right now, but I do like that lineup. I'm thinking Miranda, Buxton, Correa. I also like Blake Snell to go with Joe Ryan as my combo over at DraftKings. And then as far as a play, I'll probably take the Astros as a dog. I know I just got done talking up Texas, but the Javier Perez matchup, I think you're getting a big pitcher edge there. And then I understand that Houston's lineup isn't the juggernaut that we've seen, but it can still do damage. I don't believe that Perez is anywhere near the guy that we saw last year. So while I do like the Rangers long-term today, I do like the Astros to begin that Silver Boot series and beat them.
All right, 20 seconds real quick. Shane McClanahan, mid-back tightness. AL Cy Young rejiggered that market. Valdez is the short shot, followed by Cole Gausman. Eovaldi, McClanahan tied, and then Ohtani. Does that seem right to you that Valdez should be the short shot?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what he's doing. He's added Ks. He's really dynamic now. Framber Valdez, best pitcher going right now in the American League.
Paul Sporer, everybody. Happy 4th, a day in advance, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks, same to you, Gil. Take care.
Paul Sporer from Fangraphs, Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Check him out at Sporer on the Twitter machine. Zachary Cohen joins us to talk a little Wimbledon. It's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8. That's 877-8. Hope, New York, or text H-O-P-E-N-Y, that's 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel, this offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Interesting little twist there at the end.
Can I get that number for Puerto Rico one more time?
You may not. I've said it once, and I will not say it again. That's the greatest promo ever. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. He's back in the saddle. Kelly Bidlin back from his summer staycation. Mostly here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Which Steve Fezzik, by the way, is coming up. Steve Fezzik, among other things. We'll talk sports betting, of course, with Steve. A lot of college football that we want to get into with him today. But among other things, he discusses why this is the worst holiday, July 4th, to be in Las Vegas. Of all the holidays, this is the worst one.
It's up there. It's up there.
To take a Vegas vacation for. We'll get all into it with Fezzik. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback at Beanie the Book. Elvis Toast Patterson. Gil, living in Vegas, is there any hype at all yet for this Terrence Crawford-Errol Spence fight? It's only 3.5 weeks away. Any shot, you say the heck with it and go. I'd say the heck with it and go if I was in town. And to answer your first question, there is zero hype. Am I correct in that, Kelly? Zero.
You're just asking the wrong guys. You know what I mean? Like, even if there was big boxing, if there was big boxing hype in this town right now, would you actually feel like you could honestly answer that yes or no,
yeah,
regardless?
Yes, because we have the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather thing, right? Like, that was hype for 2 months. Like, if Elon...
That wasn't even just a boxing. That was a exhibition fight.
Right, but if and when Elon Musk fights Mark Zuckerberg, that's going to be more hyped than this actual fight between two great fighters.
Pretty sure the whole world's ready to fight Elon today. Yeah, free my Twitter, Elon!
What's he doing? I was comparing... What are you doing, Elon?
I don't know.
You know the Hard Rock was this beautiful hotel. We had a center circle bar that was dipped under. And then the Hard Rock decided to just remodel 17 times for no reason. That's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing. He's got an excuse for everything. He's like, well, this needs to be fixed. I'm like, well, it worked fine for a dozen years.
He's remodeling the Hard Rock for no reason. This is from SC, Go Fast Troy. Any value on the Angels to win the World Series at 50-1? Go Fast Troy, I just don't see it. I really don't. If you bet on the Angels, there's nothing, like, I'm so frustrated. There's a lot of frustrating things in sports betting. Realizing that you back a really poor offense in baseball is close to the top of the list. And every time I bet the Angels, I don't care if I'm up 2 runs, it never feels safe. And if I'm down even a run, I'm like, well, we're not getting back in this one. As great as Shohei and Mike Trout are in their own right. And this is Jason H11. He said, I had outrights on Fowler and Morikawa yesterday. Hadwin getting in there made for my biggest sweat. I didn't get to watch. But then he shouts at CBS. He shouts some curse words at CBS for their lack of coverage yesterday, which again was just... I mean, I know it's a first world problem that we have to turn on our computer or our phone to watch it on an app.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I want to put it in its proper perspective. But come on! By the way, that was the one where you look at the leaderboard in the morning here, West Coast time, and you're like, what do you mean they're on the 16th hole?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what did I miss? Oh, weather. Let me see if I can find this. Nope, can't. Have to text everybody. Where is this? Let's talk some tennis. Zach Cohen joins us. Zachary Cohen. Who does so many great things here and works at the Tennis Channel as well. How you doing, Zach? Good to see you, man.
Doing well. How about you?
Good. By the way, I didn't ask you enough about your honeymoon in Italy. Was it everything it was cracked up to be? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, for sure. It was awesome. I mean, we saw so many cool things. I went to 2 restaurants that Novak Djokovic has been to. Just ate so much good food. And I saw Dominic Thiem in the Rome airport after losing in the Challenger.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you say something to him? You're like, hey, Dominic.
I didn't. My wife had lost her bag, I think I told you, in Rome. So other things to worry about. But I was staring at him instead of, helping her figure that out. So.
That's a slam champion right there is what that is. Wow. Okay. Did you do the thing? Last question. Did you do the thing where you ate pasta every single day and didn't gain a pound?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't gain a pound on the trip. We did like 20,000 steps a day or something. So, it evened itself out.
It's a beautiful thing. Okay. Weight loss, by the way. Weight loss tips coming up from Steve Fezzik as well. Good segue there. All right. Day one of Wimbledon. Correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously we're doing a show here and we got TVs up. But it's only the main court and court one that are being played right now. The rest of it is all weather?
I believe they're starting back up. I couldn't tell. I'm watching... Djokovic is on now. Casper Ruud just won the first set of his match.
Those are the only two we're seeing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hopefully it gets back. What did you bet today?
I had a few things that you had. I had Siniaková winning her match. And then I have a few others. God, I'm blanking right now. But I did have Rude to win his quarter, so I'm watching that with a close eye. Let me check what else. I had Quinton Hollis to beat Daniel Evans.
There you go.
That's one of my favorite plays. I just think that, yeah, you know, I think that Evans, you assume he's a good grass court player because he's British, but I think Hollis has a bigger, you know, bigger serve, bigger game in general, and I think that's going to be a huge factor in that match.
The serve is so—it's so everything, right? It's the number one factor in all these, unless you're a god like Djokovic, and then so many other things matter. But yes, all right. So yeah. We match on Siniaková, we match on Hollis. Did you make those? Were your only two bets of the day, by the way?
I had some others. I'm blanking right now.
All right, I'll give you some time to think of those. Did you
Storm Hunter? It's Storm Hunter. That was my third play.
You bet Storm Hunter. That's, by the way, an actual name, Kelly. First name Storm, last name Hunter. It's a she.
I'm not surprised by these names at all anymore. Mm.
She's not. Yeah.
She went from -110 to -130 though.
What? Say again.
She went from -110 to -130. The match hasn't started, so that's a good sign.
That's a good sign. But you know, would you recommend it at -130?
I still would. I think that she's going to win that match.
Okay. Storm Hunter. Who's she playing, by the way?
She's playing Xinyu Wang.
Xinyu Wang. Okay. Okay. Did you bet any, just to refresh folks' memories here, outrights or quarters?
I had a bunch of quarters. I have Casper Ruud to win his quarter at +850. I think I told you, you don't feel great about it because Ruud has never been a good grass court player. But I don't think that the draw there could have possibly broken right for him. I would still take that live if you can get it after today. And I think you probably can at like +600. I just don't see him, you know, being that big of a disadvantage against some of the players he'll face until he faces potentially Jannik Sinner in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and I got Fritz losing today, so or at least I'm betting on that. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Bautista Agut, maybe the only other name in that quarter. It's interesting with Ruud, too, because and I think I want to say this was the case before the French too, where he was sort of telegraphing. He's like, yeah, well, the French, that's his surface. But with Wimbledon here on grass, if you're on social media, if you're on Instagram or whatever, Casper Ruud has been to every concert in Europe, it feels like, since the French Open. So he hasn't done any run-up matches to this tournament. He's basically telegraphing the pass of, I don't care what happens here. I'm just going to show up and we'll see what happens. And then you're right. And then he gets this unbelievably favorable draw. Who knows? He may accidentally find himself in a semifinal when all is said and done. Who else besides Ruud?
I have Iga Swiatek to win her quarter. I have that as a three-unit play. I just thought that -110 was such a favorable price for her. I mean, it's just unbelievable that she has one of the easiest draws of any of the women in that tournament. So I just think that getting the best player in the world with no one really in front of her at -110, it's too good to pass up. I'm not sure she wins the tournament, but I feel really good about her winning her quarter.
I agree with that. Kasatkina, Coco, and Belinda Bencic among those in her quarter, but yeah, Swiatek used to get a lot of favorable draws, and then the last couple years, it's sort of the luck, quote-unquote, pendulum has swung against her. Now she's back to having a good draw here in this one. So Ruud in Q3 of the men's, Swiatek Q1 of the women's. Anything else?
I took a flyer on Madison Keys to win Q4 at +700.
So did I.
Yeah, I just think, like you said, the serve is king on grass. I think she has probably the best, one of the top five serve on the women's game, and then a really big forehand. She could win points in a hurry, so I kind of like her as well.
There is no reason why she couldn't do well in this tournament every single year. And she was a former Slam finalist, famously losing to Sloane Stephens some 5 years ago at the U.S. Open. In the U.S. Open finals, but there's no reason why Maddie Keys, if her game is together, can't perform very well. Those are the three or one more?
I have a weird one. I have Talon Griekspoor winning Q2 at +2200.
Good for you. That's not terribly weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I made a really small play on it, but yeah, I just think that he's playing as well as anyone on grass coming into this tournament. I think that you get the Medvedev portion of the quarter. I just think that there's a chance that he goes deep.
So many in that quarter, including a bunch of Americans. There's Medvedev, Mannarino, Griekspoor, Cerundolo, Raonic. Then the Americans, Tommy Paul, Korda, Shelton, Cressy. Not to mention non-Americans, Norrie, Murray, and Tsitsipas in a very crowded Q2. So you're taking the flyer on Talon Griekspoor. He's had a great grass season. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Zach Cohen, everybody, right here. Kind enough to join us this morning. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik will join us next.